All right, welcome to Brighton Broadcast News for Friday, July 14th, 2023. Mike Adams here. Thank you for joining me today. Wow, this has been an extraordinary day. Some major news that's going to change the future of money. And then there's also some news coming up that will change the future of money in another way. We're going to get to all this in great detail. Let me just kind of spill the beans. There was a major court decision by a federal district judge, Annalisa Torres, who ruled that XRP, that's Ripple, XRP coin sales to the public and through exchanges cannot be considered a security. So basically, Torres just slapped down Gensler at the SEC in a major way and set a precedent in the courts, in federal court, for the fact that altcoins, which I guess is considered anything other than Bitcoin typically, but altcoins are not in and of themselves securities. And so this changes everything. And in today's podcast, we're going to cover that in a lot more detail. But wow, this is an exciting time to be involved in private digital money. And this court decision just, again, it's a game changer. A couple of other things. First, I interviewed Peggy Hall earlier today, and that interview will be included here in Brighton Broadcast News. That's the featured interview for today. Now, Peggy Hall has helped numerous people fight back against the vaccine mandates, the mask mandates, and other kind of crazy, insane COVID requirements. And she has a new webinar series, well, I guess a seminar, maybe you call it, a series of videos called Know Your Rights. And in this seminar series, which airs beginning this Saturday, by the way, on Brighton University, so it's free, brightu.com, that's B-R-I-G-H-T, followed by the letter U, like Bright University kind of, brightu.com, you can register and watch this whole thing for free. It begins Saturday, that's July 15th, that's tomorrow, and then it plays for 10 or 11 days. And each episode teaches you something powerful and amazing. Again, you can watch them all for free. You're going to learn exactly how to find the patient's bill of rights, the documents to which your local hospital is bound, the documents that are published by the state that you're in, or in some cases, other jurisdictions. But hospitals have patients' bill of rights, certifying boards, you know, hospital certification boards, medical boards, states, and so on. And when you find these documents, you can use them and show the hospital, if they're trying to pull some shenanigans on you, you can show them that, hey, you have to respect my right to say no to any specific medical intervention, such as a mask or a jab. And yet, even though I say no to that one thing, you cannot deprive me of medical care for other medical needs. And Peggy Hall is an expert on this. She shows you how to create the letters. She shows you, she's got templates. She shows you how to win your argument. Even for immigration, if you're required to get a vaccine jab for immigration, or you think you're required to, it turns out you're not required to. And if you think you're required to get a jab for your job, turns out you're not required to. So if you want to save your body, save your life, and not get these, you know, experimental spike protein injections, this is your answer. It's called Know Your Rights, and it airs for free on Brighton University, which is brightu.com. Again, it begins tomorrow. So just go there and register with your email, and you'll be able to watch the whole thing for free. Pretty cool. And don't miss the interview with Peggy Hall coming up later here in this episode. And Peggy Hall is just a delightful person. She's got a great smile and a lot of knowledge. She's very enthusiastic and upbeat. She's not going to bring you down. She's going to empower you with information that you will love, information that can help save your life. Okay, and then also, by the way, I did a second interview earlier today, and this interview was with the executive producer of the new movie, Sound of Freedom. That's right, the new movie about child sex trafficking. This is now the number one movie in America. And the executive director is Paul Hutchinson, who himself, I learned today, went on 70 child rescue missions himself. And it turns out he and I are both longtime practitioners of Krav Maga, which is the Israeli martial art. And he and I both have a lot of friends who are former Special Forces and Navy SEALs and folks like that. So I kind of understand the circle of people in which he operates. And they're good people. They're trying to rescue kids. They're trying to stop the pedophiles and the groomers and the traffickers, right? So we had a fascinating conversation. Just amazing. I did not know any of this about Paul Hutchinson. It's his movie. Took them 8 years to make it, and they were rejected by nearly every studio. Nobody in Hollywood, nobody, even Netflix, nobody wanted to see this film made because they didn't want what's happening right now to happen. And what's happening right now is everybody's becoming aware of child sex trafficking, that it's a very real thing. It's a horrifying thing. It's happening in huge numbers in America and around the world. And wait till you hear this interview with Paul Hutchinson. That interview may run... I might run it this weekend, but most likely I'll run it Monday, in Monday's episode. So watch for it then. And again, it will just absolutely blow your mind. Now, one more thing. We also posted yesterday, episode 4 of Decentralized TV. And episode 4 focuses on decentralizing your food supply. It gives you knowledge, thanks to our guest, Jim Gale, about how to create a food forest no matter where you are, no matter what climate you live in. You can create food abundance. And it's decentralization because it gets you away from the, you know, centralized agricultural giants, the corporate pesticide pushers, and, you know, Tyson Foods and all that crap, right? So this interview, which is available right now, again, just go to decentralize.tv and check it out. You're going to love it. This is a very powerful episode. I'm receiving a ton of positive feedback about it. You're going to learn a wealth of information. You're going to learn how to grow food without having to be a gardener. Jim Gale doesn't weed. He's not a gardener. He's just a harvester. He plants food for us, and then after that, just runs around harvesting food out of him. It does not engage in gardening or weeding or row crops or anything like that. So a fascinating interview. Don't miss that. Now, next week, then, on decentralize.tv, we've got two more interviews coming up that are going to be very impactful, I believe. These two interviews are about two different projects that are out there that are crypto-based projects. One of them is a coin that's involved in a decentralized energy project, you know, like kilowatt hours. It's a fascinating conversation. And then the second one coming up next week is about a privacy coin that has taken a unique approach to solving some issues involved in transactions with privacy. So that's coming up, both of those next week. Something really cool to look forward to. So yeah, it's going to be good. And then finally, if you enjoyed the comedy skits that I did earlier this week with J.P. Sears and Mickey Willis, everybody had a fun time with those. And we are hoping to do some more. So earlier today, I pitched another idea to Mickey Willis and J.P. Sears on another little comedy skit that we could do in the studio. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, we'll see if they like the idea. Maybe they're going to like say, no, that's crazy. We'll never do that. I don't know. I guess we'll find out. But I do intend to try to bring you some more humor and comedy as these two guys are able to. They're both very busy. But since we all live in Texas, you know, it's not like they're crazy far away. So hopefully we can get some more comedy going for you and help brighten your day a little bit from time to time. All right, now we're going to go into the big decision about XRP and Ripple. Now, just as background, XRP is a coin that's been around for many years, actually, and Ripple is a corporation, as I understand it, a company that was trying to work with banks to show them how to use Ripple as a faster international transaction system, which actually makes a lot of sense because the SWIFT system sucks. It's slow and it's expensive and it's been weaponized. And frankly, I think the idea behind XRP as an international, you know, bank transfer technology, I think it makes perfect sense. And so XRP, the coin, which I don't own any, by the way, I regret that since it just went up like 60% based on what I'm about to tell you. But I never owned any XRP. This wasn't something that I closely followed because it's not a privacy coin. So it wasn't really something that was at the top of my list to look at. But XRP and Ripple have made history. And frankly, we have to give credit right now to all the people involved in the Ripple company and in the XRP project, and many of the coin holders who actually issued testimony in this trial, you know, notarized statements and things like that, that actually made a difference. So people stuck to their guns on this, and they defended XRP against the SEC, which started to sue Ripple, I think in 2020, or I think it was late 2020, something like that. And so the SEC had argued in its lawsuit, and this applies to you. You know, seriously, pay attention. Even if you don't know anything about XRP or Ripple, this applies to you and me and all of us. This is a big deal. The SEC sued them and said that, hey, the coin, the XRP coin is a security. That's what the SEC argued. And therefore, everybody who bought XRP is involved in some kind of violations of SEC securities rules and things like that. Okay, that was the charge against Ripple. And the attempt by the SEC, run by lunatic Gary Gensler, and of course the evil Biden administration agenda to try to destroy private money, they've been trying to bring down crypto. And so Ripple, which frankly has been backed by a lot of pretty deep pockets out there, like some pretty major institutions and bank-related type of companies, there's no doubt that there's some mainstream money behind Ripple. No doubt about it. That's not a bad thing. It actually gave them enough money to fight this thing and get good lawyers and pay the court costs and so on, which were substantial. But as a result of this, a new court decision has just been handed down by Judge, what's her name? Annalisa Torres. A federal district judge has rendered a decision. I'm going to explain the decision to you the best I can. Just understand, this is my interpretation. I'm not an attorney, obviously, and you shouldn't take this as financial advice. But essentially, my understanding is that this rule declared that XRP is not a security by itself. In fact, the ruling seems to indicate that no coin in and of itself could be considered a security. Just like you can't say that, oh, these soybeans are securities, or you can't say these oranges are securities, or that this car is a security. Now, if you take a bunch of soybeans and tie them up in a contract, like an investment contract, like, oh, we're going to grow soybeans for you, you're going to invest in this farm, and here we're going to sell shares of this investment to you, and here's the contract, and here's the expected return, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's a security. And, you know, historically, there's cases with orange groves and orange orchards, things like that, where the oranges, though, aren't the security. It's the packaging of the commodities inside a contract with an expectation of a return on investment and so on, and influenced by the company. Like, that's what a security is. So the judge ruled the coin is not a security. And more importantly, the judge ruled that when these coins are sold on online exchanges, or when people buy XRP through an online exchange like Kraken, or, you know, Coinbase or whatever, or if they buy and sell with each other, that this does not create a security. It's a non-security situation. And the same, obviously, this is my extension of this, the same would be true with all the other coins that are also not securities in and of themselves. Now, the judge did rule that many years ago, when the Ripple company was first launching this, they sold something like $750 million worth of these coins to institutional investors, i.e. hedge funds, and they had investment contracts with them. The judge ruled, yes, those are securities, the contracts, not the coins. The contracts that the coins are riding inside of, you could say, right? So those are securities. So if you're a hedge fund that bought these, then yeah, Ripple should have been licensed to handle securities at that time. So that's a fault finding with Ripple, but that is overpowered by the really positive news that everybody else who ever bought XRP has not violated securities laws, and nor has the Ripple company violated securities laws in those purchases. Now, the reason this matters is because, you know, I'm talking about moving my after-tax savings out of fiat currency and into three things that I keep mentioning: gold, silver, and crypto. And as I'm purchasing crypto, and I'm buying various privacy coins, and a little bit of Bitcoin, and definitely some Monero, and a few other things here and there. So I'm buying these things, and I'm buying them right now, even though I don't have absolute certainty about the regulatory environment that these coins are going to exist in the years ahead. But the court decision that was just handed down by Torres just gave me a lot more certainty in my mind. I mean, whether you share this certainty is up to you. Do your own research, right? But in my mind, this just gave me a lot more certainty that these coins that I'm buying, which I see as having intrinsic value, I see as having a store of value, because they have properties like borderless transactions, right? And privacy, and rapid transactions, very, very fast paced, and so on. These all have intrinsic value to me. So now in my mind, I feel way more confident that these are not going to someday be considered securities. Rather, they're commodities. It's like buying and selling soybeans or oranges or car tires or whatever. And I have no expectation of whether something's going to go up or down. I'm not in this for speculation. I'm in this for preservation. I'm in this because I feel my decision is that I think the crypto space is now going to hold value better than the dollar, because I know the dollar is losing value every day because of the money printing. I've chosen to go into a system where they can't just print more coins. They can't just print more Bitcoin, right? The ledger is set. The ledger is an honest ledger. It's driven by algorithms. There's a hard limit on the number of Bitcoins. There's a hard limit of how many Monero are created with each block that is mined. It's an emissions limit, as it's called, a certain limit over a period of time. There are limits with all these coin projects. They could be emissions limits or hard limits or various combinations, all kinds of different ways to approach it. But they're all honest ledgers. And so I believe these are going to hold value, even if they don't go up. I'm thrilled. If they just hold value, they're going to hold value better than the dollar because the dollar's going down. So I'm very happy that, according to Judge Torres, I'm not holding, you know, unregistered securities, and the online exchanges that sold me these coins, such as Kraken.com, for example, they didn't violate securities laws either. And in fact, what happened over the last 24 hours is XRP, which is Ripple, got reinstated on Kraken.com and Coinbase.com and a bunch of other exchanges. In fact, I'm logged in to Kraken right now, and I'm looking at XRP, and I see it's gone up 70% in the last 24 hours. 70%. That's crazy. Now, earlier in the day, it was up only 30%. A lot of people could have bought it and made a pretty good return in one day. Now, for me, that's not my focus. That's not what I'm, you know, I'm not a day trader in crypto. I have no idea where the prices are going. But what I do know is that the long-term value of cryptocurrency just went to a good place because of this court decision. And personally, the reason I was never that interested in XRP is because, again, it's not a privacy coin. And if I'm going to hold a non-private coin, in my mind, I'm just going to hold Bitcoin. So I don't know that I have any practical interest in XRP myself. But the XRP project helped establish this precedent that affects everybody. But personally, I would rather hold privacy coins, because then again, your transactions are private and no one can know your wallet balance and things like that. I value privacy. And I think actually everybody values privacy, and that a lot of people who currently own Bitcoin don't realize it's not private. And so my belief is that over time, a lot of people who hold Bitcoin right now, when they come to realize it's not private, and when the IRS starts chasing down people based on their Bitcoin wallet IDs that are on the blockchain, you're going to see a lot of people, I think, that start transitioning into privacy crypto. And that's going to be a fascinating time. We are living in a fascinating time. We are looking at the reinvention of money. I was listening to an interview earlier today with Lynn Alden, and he was talking about the reinvention of money and how, with the advent of rapid telecommunications capabilities, that is, you know, the ability to send and receive information rapidly at the speed of light, why do we still have a monetary system that is so slow and clunky and not universal? You know, there's all these different currencies from all over the world, and mostly they're not very useful outside their own countries. But something like Bitcoin is universally useful. It's accepted in every country, practically, around the world, and it moves at the speed of light. And so we have to have a monetary system that keeps up with the technology of instant internet, you know, TCP/IP, telecommunications, all of this. And frankly, that's not dollars. It's not even physical gold and silver in that case, because you can't, you know, send gold through the internet, sadly. That would be cool if you could. But if you could, you wouldn't really need Bitcoin. But since you can't, you have to send representations of value through a digital medium using telecommunications and then mathematics and cryptography and zero knowledge proofs and all these other things. And that's what we're watching. This is the infancy of an amazing new innovation that's going to change. It's already in some ways changed, but it will continue to change the very structure and function of human civilization. And ultimately, it will make civilization work more efficiently with more abundance and more wealth for more people. And I came to the same conclusion myself, just thinking about the fact that, you know, if you send fiat money to somebody, let's say you send them a check, or you use a debit card to pay somebody, well, you notice how they have to wait days for those things to, quote, clear. You got to wait for your check to clear, they say. Or, you know, we got to hold on to your debit card money for a few days, make sure you can't reverse it, right? Well, when they're waiting for your check to clear, what are they actually waiting on? The answer is they're waiting to see whether you reverse the payment, because fiat currency payments aren't permanent. Most of them can be reversed by the sender declaring that it was fraud or something. Oh, my bank account got hacked. You know, reverse that wire, reverse that Zelle payment, or reverse that, or cancel that check, or whatever. Reverse that credit card transaction, right? Credit card transactions are not permanent. They can be reversed. So when you are using a monetary system that can be reversed, nobody can trust that payments actually count on the day they receive them. So if I have a vendor upstream that's selling me, let's say, whey protein, and I pay that vendor with a check, can that vendor ship out the whey protein to me on the same day they receive the check in fiat currency? No, they can't. They got to deposit the check and wait for it to, quote, clear, which, again, is just the stupid waiting game. So that vendor's sitting on that whey protein for an extra, you know, week or 2 weeks before they ship it out to me, because they can't trust the system. If I had just paid them in, let's say, Bitcoin or Ripple, you know, XRP for that matter, or Monero or whatever, the minute they receive the payment, the minute they get it, you know, whatever confirmations they want, 5 confirmations. So let's say, you know, it's 20, 30 minutes in Bitcoin, whatever. They're going to get it in minutes, and then they can ship out the goods immediately because they have the payment and they know that that payment cannot be reversed. It is immutable. It's etched onto the blockchain forever. So then commerce can move at the speed of rapid transactions, cryptocurrency transactions. So the more people adopt cryptocurrency as a means of payment, the more efficient the economy becomes, because you don't have warehouses full of whey protein sitting around waiting for stupid checks to clear and things like that, right? And it's so funny. I've run into so many frustrating and fascinating problems trying to actually move money out of fiat currency banks and into crypto. And, you know, one of the problems I've run into, which you've probably seen before, is that banks will have, you know, limits on how much you can wire. Like, you can only wire a certain amount per day, and then they often have another amount per month. Like, you can only wire, you know, $50,000 a month or $75,000 a month or whatever. And so in one of my banks, you know, I hit that limit. And so I go to another one of my banks to send a wire, and I put in the wire information. And because I'm wiring this over to Kraken, by the way, you know, to buy crypto on Kraken. Like I said, I'm sharing with you what I'm doing. I'm converting fiat into crypto and gold and silver, right? There's no secrets here. I'm telling you exactly what I'm doing. And so then the second bank, I set up the wire and I'm trying to send the wire. And then it says, oh, we have to review your wire destination now before you can send the wire. Like, wow, that's a new one. I've never seen that before. They've managed to put a new roadblock in here. It's amazing how much these banks don't want you to send wires. They hate it when you send wires out of their banks because, of course, they can leverage the deposits, right? So they can take $1 in deposits and they can lend out $20 in loans, or actually even more in many cases, because the reserve requirement is very close to zero. So when you send money out of the bank, man, they lose 20 times as much in terms of their, you know, loanable assets, because, well, fractional reserve banking is not an honest system. So no wonder they hate it when people take their money out, but I'm persistent. Like, damn it, I'm going to come in there and take it out in cash if I have to. But I'm getting my money out of the system. But it has been painstakingly slow to do so. And so I actually recorded a special report on this. It's a separate report, but I'll repeat it here. And trust me on this. Take my advice about the following. Make sure that you, quote, warm up your on-ramps and off-ramps into crypto, out of fiat, into gold, out of fiat, whatever. It is critical to get these mechanisms in place and working and set up now, and do a little practice run on them. Make sure you do a few transactions. Like, if you plan to buy gold, make sure your gold retailer is entered as a wire recipient in your bank, and that your bank is okay with sending a wire to that gold recipient. And you should probably try it, you know, do a purchase, make sure it works. Same thing with crypto. If you plan to send money, a wire, let's say, to a crypto exchange, then it is critical to set up that channel in advance so that you know that that method is going to work. Because I believe there's going to come another bank failure panic. And in fact, let's talk about what's happening in August with BRICS. We'll talk about that in a second. But whatever the date is of the next bank failure panic, I believe that when that happens, it's going to involve multiple banks failing yet again. Well, first of all, I think the Fed's going to raise interest rates again, probably another quarter point coming up, maybe two more hikes this year. And when that happens, whether it's one hike or two, you know, more banks are going to be underwater because, of course, they're invested in instruments that have almost no yield. And then, you know, interest rates go up and people try to pull their money out. It forces banks to sell off those debt instruments at a loss, which is why Silicon Valley Bank went under and others. So more bank failures are coming. But this time when it happens, I think a lot of people are going to panic exit out of the banking system in any way they can. And when they exit that system, they're going to put money into almost anything that they can. They're going to put money into gold and silver. No question about that. I think there'll be another major run on gold and silver sometime this year. I think that's coming. In addition, they're going to put money into crypto. And when that day comes, there's going to be hordes of people trying to sign up on the different crypto exchanges in order to do crypto trades. And, you know, those exchanges are going to be overwhelmed and they're going to be hit with a flood of new customers and a bunch of fraudsters mixed in with that. And you're going to find out that the mechanism of moving money from fiat to crypto doesn't work right away. You know, you got to warm up those channels or you won't be able to use them. Your bank might flag it as fraud. The crypto exchange might flag it as fraud. That's what I found out. If you're in a hurry and start buying crypto and moving it around, you flag all their fraud algorithms. And so you can't do that just all of a sudden as a new user. You need to set these things up in advance and warm up these channels in advance. That's what I discovered, and that's what I'm sharing with you. Now, there will be a day, I believe, also when banks are ordered to limit withdrawals. So this could be a federal order that tells the banks, hey, don't let people take out more than $5,000 a day, or maybe it's less. And that's from all means, you know, a wire, a check, cash, whatever. You can take out no more than $5,000 a day. That could happen because there was a lot of talk after the last bank failures that the failures were the fault of customers taking their money out. And what did they say? The answer might be, oh, well, let's just stop customers from taking their money out. Let's just force them to leave their money in the bank or only take it out slowly. So you might find yourself in a situation where, I don't know, you might have. I mean, if you're a retired person, you worked your whole life, you put away some savings, you might have $250,000 in the bank, let's say. $250K, but they only let you take it out $5,000 per day as the dollar is losing money because the money printing machine's going insane. And you're sitting there watching the dollar lose value as you can't get money out of the system. That, I mean, that's happened again and again throughout history to many, many victims of different hyperinflationary scenarios where their money was stuck in the banks. I mean, just ask anybody from Venezuela, for that matter, right? There's many examples of this throughout history. Money stuck in the bank, you can't get it out, and you're just watching it lose value every day as the government keeps printing. So I see all this coming. I see all this. I mean, this is the future of the dollar. And I've just made a conscious decision that I'm getting out of that system while the exits are still available. Because when the fire starts inside the warehouse and then everybody's headed for the exits, you know, they have to squeeze to get out. And sometimes not everybody gets out. So in this metaphor, like, I'm in the warehouse and I see the exits and I'm just going out the exits right now, and everybody else is still in the warehouse. I'm trying to warn a few people, you know, like you, maybe a couple of people come with me out of the exits, you know, the fiat currency exit, and we're out of the warehouse. And if the fire happens, at least we're safe. And we'll try to help other people get out too, as best we can, but some people are going to die in the fire, which means, you know, metaphorically, they're going to lose the value of their dollars. Their dollars are going to burn up, let's say, or burn down, turn to ash when the big rug pull happens. That's the big fiat currency rug pull that is coming. So we should expect that. By the way, do you recall how quickly Silicon Valley Bank collapsed? It was one weekend. I mean, somebody started spreading the word that people should get their money out. I think it was maybe on a Thursday. And then by Friday, the withdrawals were going insane, you know, tens of millions of dollars, if not more, maybe hundreds of millions. And then the federal government, the FDIC, stepped in on Saturday, I believe. And over that weekend, they decided to do a big bailout. But the whole thing happened in just a few days. And you notice that the weekend is the time, you know, when banks are closed. So this is the time when governments step in typically and then seize a bank and take control over the assets. And then they try to issue a statement like everything's going to be okay. You're going to be covered, even if it's above the FDIC insurance amount, which is $250K typically. But, and that's what they did with Silicon Valley Bank. They said, we're going to cover everybody's deposits if you're an American. But did you know that foreign depositors lost everything? Did you know that? Yeah, if you're a foreign depositor in Silicon Valley Bank, you got nothing. At least that was what I read, you know, the most recent news about that I read. They got screwed. So even when Janet Yellen said, we're going to bail out everybody, it really wasn't everybody. It was only Americans. And then later on, Janet Yellen said, well, we're not going to bail out every bank. We're going to just take it on a case-by-case basis, she said, of which banks we're going to bail out. So how do you know which banks that you can trust? You don't. It's a game of bankster roulette. It's a landmine, a financial landmine. You're walking around. You don't know when your money's just going to blow up and vanish unless you have custody of it. You notice the three things I'm talking about here, gold, silver, and crypto. You take custody of all those three things. You don't have to trust some other institution to have it. I'm not talking about having gold vaulted by somebody else. I'm saying gold in your possession. Same thing with silver. Same thing with crypto. You have the crypto in your wallet with your keys. You have the password. You have the seed phrase. I don't want you to keep crypto on an online exchange, like Kraken, Coinbase, Gemini, whatever. Don't keep it there. Take custody. So if the bank goes down, it doesn't, you know, destroy your assets. You have custody. You still have it, even if they've lost it, even if they've lost, you know, everybody else's deposits. So these are really important principles that we all absolutely have to understand as we're moving forward in here. Now, let's talk about what's happening in August. Now, you're probably familiar with the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki. And he's got a popular channel on YouTube, kind of a financial channel and so on. And he earned a lot of money going into debt in real estate, you know, leveraging the debt and doing very well in real estate. And he is warning about what's going to happen with BRICS nations in August. Now, we've covered this here several days ago when Russia announced that, in fact, at the BRICS meeting in August, they're going to announce a gold-backed cryptocurrency that will be used as a new kind of global clearinghouse, a new transactional system, a decentralized digital currency that allows all these countries to trade with each other, not just the BRICS nations, but there's, frankly, at least 40 other countries that want to be involved in this, but they'll be able to clear transactions with each other without using SWIFT or without using the dollar. And, you know, BRICS nations includes Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, but a lot of others as well. So this has been announced. It was covered by RT, you know, Russia Today. This is the official position of the nation of Russia, which has survived the economic sanctions placed upon it by the United States and the weaponization of the SWIFT system. Russia was debanked, essentially, from SWIFT last March, in fact. And at the same time, Western nations essentially stole $300 billion in Russian assets of Western currencies that were being held in Western banks. So the West just said, we're just going to steal your $300 billion. And they did. they did. And they thought they were going to destroy Russia's economy. But Russia, of course, overcame that and then did some gold backing of the ruble for some time. And its economy has been very strong. Its currency has been very strong. Its war machine, obviously, has been very strong as well. And this has led to this current announcement. So next month, August, the BRICS nations are announcing a new global cryptocurrency system for clearing transactions between all these nations. This, as I warned, and also Robert Kiyosaki is saying the same exact thing at this point, the de-dollarization trend will only accelerate. So this is going to put tremendous downward pressure on the value and the utility of the dollar. Now, Kiyosaki, I'm reading an article about his recent predictions and so on coinmarketcap.com. And Kiyosaki says this. Now, this will sound very familiar. Quote, buy gold, silver, and Bitcoin to hit 120K next year. That's a quote from Kiyosaki. Now, it's very similar to me saying buy gold and silver and crypto, right? Although I don't make price predictions on Bitcoin, so I don't know if it's going to 120K. I have no idea. And since I hardly own any Bitcoin, I obviously don't think it's the best investment opportunity out there in the crypto space. But I don't know, maybe I will get some more Bitcoin here pretty soon. But maybe Kiyosaki's right. Maybe Bitcoin quadruples in value next year. Maybe it goes up 400% in 1 year. The reason he's saying that, again, is because of the de-dollarization as Russia and these other nations unleash their global gold-backed cryptocurrency system. So from this story, Kiyosaki expects trillions of dollars to depart the U.S. dollar and to go into BRICS home countries. And he predicts Bitcoin's value to be $120,000 within the next year. He sees a significant challenge, to the U.S. dollar's dominance due to the imminent development of the BRICS nations. And he sees a staggering rise in Bitcoin's value to $120. So there's been a lot of talk about this. Is Kiyosaki correct about Bitcoin going to 120K? I have no idea, but I don't see it as impossible. I see this as something, it actually logically follows at this point. And I know there was a time I thought Bitcoin was going to go much closer to zero. And my, how things have changed since then. So Bitcoin's at 30,000 roughly right now. Could it go to 120,000? Easily. It could. But again, this, don't take this as investment advice, and I don't really own hardly any Bitcoin myself, so I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But what I do know is, again, long term, I think more people are going to look at privacy coins. Even as a lot of people buy Bitcoin first, eventually they're going to realize, hey, we need privacy. And then they're going to get into the privacy coins, which are really having substantial new innovations, new technology. In fact, next week, we'll be featuring an interview with a privacy coin project, like I said earlier. And then the following week, we'll have an interview with another privacy coin project. So we've got two of them lined up. Oh, wait a minute. What am I thinking? We've got three of them lined up. Yeah, we've got three privacy coin interviews lined up to publish for you. It's going to be a game changer, in my opinion. But again, you know, do your own research and follow your own advice. But Kiyosaki, nobody says Robert Kiyosaki's an idiot. He's a smart guy. He's also a military veteran, by the way, and he's made a lot of money, and his sense about the big trends tends to be correct most of the time. So he says gold, silver, and Bitcoin. There you go. The only difference between him and I on this is he says gold, silver, Bitcoin. I say gold, silver, privacy coin. That's the only difference. And typically, a lot of these altcoins will rise and fall pretty closely with Bitcoin. So if Bitcoin goes up, it's going to be this rising tide effect. And a lot of people, if Bitcoin gains value, a lot of people will diversify their portfolios into other things like privacy coins, most likely. So definitely something to watch. But the dollar, the days of the dollar are coming to an end. And we got to watch this meeting very closely next month in August of what these BRICS nations announce. Because I think, my theory is that they've already built this system. And they're just now announcing it because they're about ready to roll it out. And the reason I think this is because I happen to know that Russian programmers are some of the best cryptocurrency programmers in the world. Seriously, the Russians are just top-notch in terms of programmers. I mean, so are Ukrainians, by the way. But for whatever reason, that whole region, Ukraine and Russia, just produces amazing cryptographers and programmers and people who understand code and can write code. I don't know, maybe it's the cold weather or something. I don't know. But they are some of the brightest on the planet. No doubt about that when it comes to writing cryptocurrency code. So I think they've already built it. Oh yeah, let me read you the tweet from Robert Kiyosaki. Here's his tweet. It's pretty short. August 22nd, 2023. That's the meeting date coming up in Johannesburg, South Africa. BRICS nations announce gold-backed crypto. U.S. dollar will die, he says. Trillions of U.S. dollars rush home. Inflation through the roof. Buy gold, silver, Bitcoin to 120K next year, he says. There you go. That's his tweet. All right, so, you know, file that in your library of knowledge and see if that you know, gets you taking any action. There's a reason why I'm urging people to warm up the off-ramps out of banks and fiat currency, because I don't think we have much time. I really don't. I think we're in the last functioning year or two of the Western banking system, and it could collapse very quickly, you know, without notice. I mean, there could be a sudden catastrophic event that brings the system to its knees. And, you know, it could be China selling off U.S. debt. It could be World War III, you know, nuclear weapons, nuclear terrorism, EMP, grid down failure, you know, solar flare, all kinds of things. It's on the verge, just right on the edge of crumbling. It just takes one event to take down the U.S. financial system, which is really the Western financial system. It's European banks, the ECB, plus Japan, plus America, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, all of it probably goes together or close to together. But I don't know. There's a lot of different opinions on that. And, you know, Tom Luongo has a take on that that's also fascinating. And some people think the dollar is going to be just fine. I don't think so, because I know they'll print it to oblivion. You can trust that. There's no way the dollar survives this. We can see that its days are numbered. So bottom line, continue to get prepared in every way that you know. Take advantage of the preparedness resources. Let me just run through some of our sponsors and retailers in case you don't know them. For physical gold and silver, Treasure Island, Precious Coins, and Metals Company. Metalswithmike.com is the website for that. If you need backup, storable, organic, lab-tested food, that's my store, healthrangerstore.com. If you need non-GMO heirloom seeds to grow your own food supply, arkseedkits.com. That's A-R-K, seedkits.com. Also, check out Marjorie Wildcraft's website, icangrowfood.com. She's got a free webinar there that teaches you how to grow food. If you need ballistic armor, hoplitearmor.com, H-O-P-L-I-T-E, hoplitearmor.com. And if you need a folding AR-15 rifle, shieldarms.com has the most amazing one that I've ever seen. Love that rifle. It's very smooth, very easy to use, and it's a folding stock. So use discount code RANGER at pretty much all these places, or at least try it at all these places or most of them to see what kind of discounts you get with discount code RANGER. Not on the gold and silver, though. There's no discounts because it's already very low pricing there. And discount code RANGER doesn't get you anything special at the Health Ranger store. But I'm talking about the other sponsors. You can try that code and see what it gets you. But the bottom line is, get prepared, you know, warm up your bank accounts, your off ramps, your wires, you set up your account on Kraken.com. That's K-R-A-K-E-N. They're an exchange that, yeah, they did ban me accidentally at first, and then they corrected it and they apologized, and they now have allowed me to use their platform where I've been purchasing crypto, and it's been very smooth since then. So I want to give them a shout out. Thanks for doing the right thing. And Kraken.com is working great, so I recommend signing up there. And that's it. And now enjoy the Peggy Hall interview here about know your rights, which is knowing your medical rights, your right to say no to experimental medical interventions and mandates and jabs and masks and lockdowns and social distancing and other nonsense that we've all experienced has been pushed on us for the last few years. Check out this interview. I think you'll enjoy it. And watch my channel for more possible podcasts over the weekend. But thank you for listening, and here's Peggy Hall. Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon, and as you know, a strong advocate of medical freedom. And today we're joined by Peggy Hall. She's known as the Healthy American. That's her channel and website, thehealthyamerican.org. And she has a webinar series that we're going to be featuring here on brightu.com, which is Brighteon University. And it's called Know Your Medical Rights. And it will empower you with the things that you need to know to assert your rights under COVID tyranny. So welcome, Peggy Hall. It's great to have you on the show today. Thanks for joining me.
Great to be with you, Mike. You do great work. And I can't wait to help folks stand up against this medical tyranny.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you're doing a great job. It seems like I've seen a number of videos of you, you know, talking about this issue and even maybe debating with some folks from time to time about this. But the law is on our side, isn't it, for medical rights?
The law is on our side. The truth is on our side. And I've heard from so many people with heartbreaking stories where they end up in the emergency room or they're just going to their doctor's office and they're being discriminated against right from the get-go. And so many people want to stand up against this, Mike, and they don't exactly know how to do it. I fielded thousands and thousands of emails in the early days of all this hogwash, as I call it. And I decided to just put it all together in a simple, detailed course all about your medical rights. And that's what I'm going to be presenting here on your university program. And I'm really happy to be a part of that. So I would love to talk about some of the pitfalls that folks are facing, some of the success stories that we've had. And most of all, I really want to encourage people to stand up for yourself.
Absolutely.
The law, many laws are on your side. And I go into great detail about that in the series.
Well, I do want to talk about that. Let me just give out some details for people. So the website is brightu.com, B-R-I-G-H-T, and then the letter U.com. And this series begins on July 15th, and it runs for 10 days because there are multiple episodes. Now, oh, and it's free. I forgot to add that. It's free to watch, just registration required. But I want to ask you to start with, Peggy, were you surprised at how quickly so many people went along with the tyranny? I call it decentralized tyranny because it was all of these, the educators and school counselors and university officials They just, without even questioning anything, they just went along and they became the new jailers. They became the tyrants and they played the role perfectly. Did that shock you?
You know, I expect the government to be corrupt. I've dealt with government corruption for many years, so I was not surprised at these shenanigans that they rolled out. But I have to admit, I was somewhat taken aback by people that I thought I could call Americans who really were not willing to live in freedom, because nobody actually that I know of had their rights taken away from them. They gave up those rights. They gave in, gave up, and gave over their freedom. Number one, they believed in what was going on. Number two, the fear mongering and the flu mongering that these evildoers planned was carried out successfully. And then I have to say, Mike, there were a number of people that wanted to stand up for themselves and they actually didn't know how. They thought that the governor had the right to make a law just by proclaiming it. They thought that their medical doctor and the clerk at the grocery store and their child's teacher and the flight attendant had the legal authority to basically require medical intervention in order to have access to public accommodations and services. And my background is in political science and in international law and policy. I'm just one of those people that has always been interested in how countries and political systems are organized. It's more of a fascination of mine. So when this rolled out, I thought, oh my gosh, I can't believe people are falling for it. They must not know the law. So I rolled up my sleeves. I do what I do best. And I researched and I came up with a very detailed and effective way to fight back against these tyrants.
And that's what you're sharing then in your seminar series here. Do you call it a seminar or webinar? What do you call it?
Yeah, basically a webinar. And this was created at the height of all of this horror and all of the hogwash, because there were so many people reaching out to me via email for help and on my social media platforms. And there was so much censorship that I could not speak freely about my techniques and strategies and tactics. Isn't that sad that you could not speak about the law without being censored? So
it's
I decided
incredible.
To create a private program that people could access. And it's awesome that you're going to be airing this for free as a part of Bright You. And I am so happy to contribute to my knowledge and my encouragement to help empower people. And I have to say, Mike, it's so intimidating when you are faced with a medical situation. Many people tried to fight back at the grocery stores, you know, their child's school. I got kicked off airplanes because I wouldn't wear, I call it the suffocation device. But when you are sick, or you are with someone who is not well, or you find yourself in the emergency room, or you're just trying to get your regular care and you're being discriminated against, when there are specific laws that prohibit this, this is where they really target vulnerable people. I've always been for the underdog. I cannot stand to see people suffering. And that's why I put this program together.
Well, that's outstanding. And tell us then about some of the success stories that people have been able to achieve by using your information.
Well, in my home state of California, which was the first state to shut down, I never gave in to the language calling it a lockdown. That's prison language. And I always had a key, so I was not exactly locked in, but the society was shut down. That happened first in California, and it was the last state to open up. In fact, my county of Orange is still under a local COVID emergency at the time of this airing, and
really?
I am suing them. Yes, I am suing them in order to follow the law, which requires them to announce the termination of the emergency at the earliest possible date in that county, and they still haven't done so. I digress, but the point being that in California, we were shut down, and it was so hostile, so egregious, so tyrannical, so authoritarian. I'm sure people can come up with more adjectives. So in hospitals such as Kaiser, that's a major hospital, many people have been fighting against it from the side of an employee being discriminated against. But in the early days, I had people that would literally text me from the emergency room saying, Peggy, I can't believe it. I never thought this would happen to me. I stay away from doctors and medical settings, but I am in the emergency room. And they, again, back in the day, they were requiring masks. They were requiring a COVID test. And when the vaccine rolled out, they wanted you to be vaccinated in order to get care.
Right.
Imagine, now I had a friend that had a severe attack from her gallbladder. And that probably, I mean, I'm not an MD, but it certainly appeared to be life-threatening to her. She was in extreme pain. And this is where I, number one, recommend people to plan. It sounds strange to plan your emergencies in advance. You know, like the bad guys, they've planned them all. You need to plan your emergency by getting in writing from these medical centers, whether it's an urgent care, a regular ER, whether it is your doctor. You need to get in writing from them that you will not be discriminated against, number one, because of your medical condition, and number two, if this applies to you, because of your religious or ethical or moral desire of or conviction of no consent to these egregious, unnecessary, unwanted intrusions into the body. So what happens, Mike, is a lot of people don't prepare in advance. They don't get this in writing. And just through providential experience, in the early days of this hogwash, I had to go see a foot doctor. And luckily, he is of like minds, living in freedom, never required any mask or anything. And this was literally like in April or May of 2020. And I told him of the people that were contacting me that were having difficulty getting medical care in the ER. And he has patients in the ER. And he said, absolutely not should these people be discriminated against or denied care. It is against hospital policy. It is against the doctor's medical license if they are using these terms of discrimination or grounds of discrimination to deny care. And he said, you tell them I do not consent and you look up the patient's bill of rights. Well, I had never really been aware of the patient's bill of rights. I go through that in great detail in this course. We go through step by step. Every state has a patient's bill of rights that was modeled after some regulations, and I don't even know if it's actual legislation, but some states have legislated this, whereby when you are being seen by a doctor or in the emergency room, or let's say you're going for some type of service like a colonoscopy. Now, I'm a person who believes in natural health, so I stay away from all of those, allopathic style of medicine anyway. But if you find yourself in that situation, I want you to understand that there is a patient's bill of rights that very clearly states that you have the right of no consent to any medical intervention with, and here's the kicker, Mike, without being denied other care. Hmm. The scenario I give is, let's imagine you have a broken leg. You find yourself in the ER. They want to give you a morphine drip and you say, I do not want morphine. They cannot deny and refuse to put a cast on your leg just because you are declining, and I like to use that word decline because there's no requirement for you to be vaccinated or tested or masked. And you let them know that you are, though all of those are medical interventions. Let's just camp out there for a quick moment, if I could. Wearing a mask and being tested, those two medical interventions have never been approved by the FDA as interventions for COVID. They are, it's amazing that I can even say that word and speak freely on your platform. I'm grateful for that opportunity.
There will be medical censorship here.
I love it. I always have to call it the cooties and so forth, which is
no,
fine.
Speak freely.
We have our language. So the FDA has never approved the PCR test to test for COVID. All right. There's much debate. And I personally have never seen evidence that COVID even exists in the way that we've been told. However, those tests, the PCR test and masking, are medical experiments. Why is this important? Because that patient's bill of rights goes on to say, not only do you have the right to refuse any medical treatment, you have the right to refuse any medical experiment, and you may not be denied additional care. So the mask and the test are medical experiments. Yes. Everyone knows, I hope, that the vaccines are still under emergency use authorization, which also means they are a medical experiment. So once you have this patient's bill of rights, and what I recommend is that folks just literally have it on their phone, they hand it to the highest authority at the hospital or the doctor's office, say, I forgot my glasses, would you read that out loud for me? That way the person is involved. They can't just zone out. And when they get to the point about you having the right to decline medical care without being refused treatment, you say to them, are you violating my rights? And if you are, I want a signed statement from you and everyone here who is denying me medical care. And I want that in writing.
But
and
let me ask you,
that's what changes the game there.
Okay. That's powerful. However, a question that comes to my mind, I know you've already answered this before, but under what authority is this patient's Bill of Rights issued? I mean, is it any authority that would be recognized by the typical hospitals?
It is published by the hospital, and it is every state has its own licensing board for hospitals. Every state has its own licensing board for health insurance, and every state has its own licensing board for doctors. So in those documents, those hospitals are required to follow this standard of care for patients. In many cases, this was the fallout from the Unaffordable Care Act, as I call it, back in the Obama years. This was really reinstituted in terms of insurance companies and hospitals. There are additional laws, Mike, for every state.
But now, are you saying that this patient's Bill of Rights type of language is almost universal across all hospitals in the United States?
Yes, they have used the pattern of the, I don't want to say a sample, but a type of statement that was used in this Affordable Care, it's hard for me to even say that, the Unaffordable Care Act.
Right.
And that was the model for states to use. And because most of these large insurance companies were in cahoots with the government when all of this came out, there is very similar language from state to state. So the homework for everyone is to research that patient's Bill of Rights in your state.
I see.
To highlight, there are at least three different places. It's usually a statement of about 14 or 15, it's a document of about 14 or 15 different statements that protect you. You also have the right to have an advocate with you. So think back into the early days when there were those vulnerable individuals.
Yeah, they separated families.
Separating the families. That's completely against the law. Now, they will say it's an emergency and therefore that doesn't hold water. Luckily, after these last few years, there have been so many court rulings that have come out saying that your rights are not suspended in an emergency. Uh-huh. Even the state of California has stated in its civil rights department publications that your rights are not suspended in an emergency. Now, I like to make this kind of a startling example or really a parallel. So people are saying you can't be in this hospital because you're sick, right? You might be making other people sick. The whole statement is ludicrous. Isn't that where sick people go, is to a hospital? So if you are discriminating against me because you believe that I'm carrying a disease, does that mean you do not allow any patient with AIDS? And that's a topic for another day, whether
right.
that's
or tuberculosis or whatever.
Or tuberculosis or hepatitis. Where do you draw the line here? So that is medical discrimination. And then I also have counseled people, not in a legal manner, but as a really a legal educator, giving coaching in terms of here's where to find the law, here's what the law means, and then you know, learn it, apply it on your own. And I've done a lot in the realm of, you know, religious rights. Now, not everyone has a religious belief. I acknowledge that. That's fine. I do believe that it's very important that we continue to stand for those religious rights because no one, I believe, wants to live in a country where your very belief system is going to be removed by the government. So for those individuals like myself that worship God by breathing and worship God by keeping our body and blood pure, we do not participate in masking, testing, or becoming a human pincushion because it violates our body temple. Now, you don't have to be a part of any organized religion. You don't have to be a Christian. You can be Muslim, Buddhist. You can be an atheist and have ethical and moral beliefs that are protected by law. There are state laws, there are federal laws, and many people have stood on that position in order to get medical care without discrimination. But think of it, Mike. Imagine that there is a, someone like me that has to go to the ER, and they say, I'm sorry, we do not treat white female heterosexuals. that's just very, we don't do that.
Well, that day is probably coming, by the way.
It is
just
coming.
Be ready for that.
Absolutely. So imagine that is discrimination. Let me back up just a little bit. There are laws, federal laws and state laws, that say you have a right to public access, which includes a hospital and your doctor's office, even, and that's because they are engaged in commerce. Most people don't realize that the definition of a public accommodation is a private business or a public setting like a courtroom or a hospital or an airlines that is, if they take your money, they are, and they do, they are under the public accommodations laws, which protect basically everyone. Everyone is free and equal, and everyone is, it is protected by law that everyone has equal access to these public accommodations, regardless of your age, your gender, you know, one of the two, your ethnic background, your medical condition, your marital status. All of these are called protected characteristics. And one of the many of those you are protected by in these medical settings. So being educated, and again, I go into great detail. I show the laws, we read through it. Again, it's several hours. I can only give a brief overview in our time together.
Sure.
But the other thing I do, Mike, is I address what happens to people when they've been discriminated against.
Oh,
when
yeah.
all of the laws and the preparation still gets met by criminal behavior, by those who are criminals and not abiding by the law, and they're blatantly discriminating against these patients, then I go step by step in terms of what to do, where to file the complaints, how to go about it, what should be in the letter. There can be complaints made against the doctor, the nurse, and they need to know about this. And also the complaints can be lodged with your state board of insurance, with your state board that licenses the hospital. So there are many ways. You can even go to the very low level of the cities and where these hospitals are operating. They have to have a business license. And it's not that one individual, although many, many have had success. I kind of diverted from the success stories, but I know several people that were able to get medical care once they said the magic words, sign this paper for me that you're denying me medical care with everyone's name on it. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to videotape it. And at that point, there's a lot of scurrying around. And I know people that had this one fellow, they were going to transfer him to have a minor surgery on his foot to another hospital. And they were giving him all the runaround. This is in California. And the attending doctor in the urgent care said, I'm doing the operation right here in this exam room. Bring me the everything I need. I'm going to do the operation right here. So there are ways of getting around it. I had another fellow that had to have a chest x-ray. When he spoke to the administrative, you know, the highest administrator there at the hospital in the ER, this is a couple of years ago, the x-ray tech brought the x-ray machine outside and did his x-ray outside. He should have had the x-ray done inside, but the fact is he was not denied care. I have spoken to people on the phone. I coached them through it. They literally said verbatim to the nurses in the ER, they were able to get care without masks, without testing, without vaccines.
Wow. Okay.
So,
hold on a second. This is powerful. Just want to remind people that this is all going to be airing for free. Starting Saturday, July 15th, it's on brightu.com. If you go to the website, brightu.com, you can see here, there's a little form, just fill out your name and email address, and you can watch it for free. And then here's the thumbnail for it. And again, it begins on Saturday, July 15th, and it runs for 10 days, all free to watch. And Peggy Hall will be teaching you exactly what you need to know, as she's describing here, of how to file complaints if needed, but maybe you don't have to do that because you can just present these hospital administrators or whoever with this information up front and tell them, look, you know, we don't need to have a conflict here. You just need to respect my patient's rights. And here they are, by the way, listed by your hospital, listed by the state, listed by the medical board and so on. It's brilliant, Peggy. I also have a solution. If they refuse to treat you because you're a woman, by the way, maybe it's a hospital that only treats transgenders. All you have to do is you say, I am a woman self-identifying as a man who's impersonating a woman. So here I am. Treat me. I'm a double
Absolutely.
Trans. You can do a double trans. Yeah.
And you know, Mike, all of these experiences that people have been going through in terms of trying to keep their job without the jab, I helped thousands of people at Southwest, Wells Fargo, Amtrak, government contractors, government employees, and those working for private businesses. And one of the powerful pieces of information I gave them is right along those lines. People were having to fill out forms and then go through a panel to be approved with their religious beliefs. Wow. I asked them, what panel do you have for the transgenders? Do they have to bring a note from their doctor that you know, affirms their gender choice? What about those that are living homosexual, that are homosexuals? Did they have to bring an affidavit from someone attesting that they cannot be straight? Because only those of faith were being discriminated against.
Yes.
And I believe that that is a top-down approach to remove God from our society so that people will worship the government even more than they are right now.
No kidding. Yeah. Isn't that interesting how LGBT have special status in society today, but Christians are discriminated against routinely, as you just described. And, you know, we say we shouldn't discriminate against anyone. None of those groups should be discriminated against.
Absolutely.
If a trans person needs a medical procedure, assuming they have the hardware, they should get the medical procedure. Same thing if someone's gay or lesbian or bisexual. You know, I mean, we're not here saying anyone should be denied, but it's just that medical rights should be universal. If you're a human being, you deserve medical rights. End of story, correct?
That's right, Mike. And I have another homework assignment for everyone to go to their insurance company. I don't have medical insurance. I go through a Christian health share program, which is called SamaritanMinistries.org. But for those that are with regular health insurance companies, or if there's a hospital that you go to, I want everyone to look at their non-discrimination statement, and you are going to be shocked as I was. They have removed the category of religion as a protected characteristic.
You're kidding.
I've seen it again and again, and it says this organization stands for non-discrimination, and we do not discriminate against anyone based on age, race, gender, military status, marital status, and they are slowly removing the word religion. So this is something that we have to fight back against. This should be done in writing, and it should be done in the drip, drip, drip method, where you consistently send this document until they change that. We have a right to have no discrimination based on our beliefs, which include our religious beliefs. Otherwise, the result is that we are being told how to think and how to believe. And that is not a society I want to live in.
Absolutely. And I want to bring people to your website too. TheHealthyAmerican.org is your site. That's also your channel name on multiple channels. What else are you working on right now? What's your focus aside from this webinar series, which is already done? What are you working with?
Well, Mike, people are still being discriminated against when they're going for a job interview. They're being asked right off the bat, are you vaccinated? And my simple tip there is just say to them, why do you ask? Are you in compliance with Title VII of the U.S. Civil Rights Act of non-discrimination at the workplace? And you don't divulge any information until you get a job offer. And so I'm helping a lot of individuals get a new job without a jab. And believe it or not, colleges are still discriminating against these young adults, many who don't have the life experience and the wherewithal to stand up for themselves. So I help them navigate these stormy seas. And then the other group of people include legal immigrants that are coming to this country and applying for their green card, or those U.S. residents that are now applying for citizenship, and they are being coerced into being vaccinated. And I have many success stories. There are things that you want to avoid and things that you need to include. And this is, again, more of a coaching type service that I offer. And then basically, Mike, I like to shine the light of truth in the darkness. So whatever is coming along the way that I see, I call it reading between the lies. And people, it's about developing the skill of critical thinking. And that's what you do on your platforms. You help people read between the lies, not just look at the headlines, dig deeper, look at what the hidden agendas are. I call them the hidden agendas these days.
Yeah.
And make sure that something is not being sugarcoated for you. I say that, you know, people will sell you 99 truths to slip in one lie. So we want to look for that and make sure that people are critical thinkers. When all of this happened, you asked me in the beginning, what did I think? You know, I never, when somebody tells me to do something, I don't say, okay, I say, why? And that's still my question today. And I will continue to stand on that. I'm marching it all the way to heaven. I'm here to support people with tools against tyranny.
Oh, I love it. A good phrase. So people can go to your website and they can, what, bring you on as a coach if they have a particular situation they're trying to navigate? Is that right?
Yes, they can do that. I've got tons of free resources if you want to really have a do-it-yourself. But many people are under pressure. They just need a quick answer. They want somebody to commiserate with on the phone. And this is an actual phone call that you get with me. And then follow up, unlimited email follow-up and support. And we've had so many success stories with people that knew they had rights, but they were feeling so intimidated by design, by their employer, trying to wear them down. And then sadly, Mike, I've got people that have come to me after getting not one, not two, but often three vaccines, and they finally decide they don't want to get any more. Their employer is still saying, well, you already got vaccinated. What's wrong with, you know, getting the booster? And we've helped people, even who have been vaccinated, say no. Wow. So That can be done if you found yourself in a situation where you, especially in the medical settings, nurses, doctors are still being required to be tested, sometimes weekly. And we have helped people have accommodations to that where their rights are not discriminated against. They can keep their jobs. So the best place on the website is to go to the tab that says religious
exemptions.
Religious exemptions. And there is that's where you can get started. Also, I've got hundreds of free videos on my YouTube channel, which is The Healthy American, Peggy Hall. And
do you have to speak in code there to not get banned?
I speak a little bit, you know, I talk about the cooties and the cooties cocktail and, you know, becoming a pincushion. But I have been kicked off that platform. Well, I've gotten strikes where they prevent you from uploading for a couple of weeks. And I tell you, it hurts. Yeah. You know, it does sting. And then it is the intended desire for self-censorship.
Yes.
So the way I describe censorship is if you are not speaking the truth. I am speaking the truth. I don't care if I have to use sign language. I will speak the truth, and I will speak it on that public platform because that's also a search engine. So if somebody's typing in how to get a religious exemption, ideally one of my videos will pop up.
Right.
And I can save yet another person from these horrors. So I'm on all of the other channels. I'm on your channel, Brighteon. I'm on you know, the others, but, and I've also got a Substack, which is Peggy Hall, and I want the truth and I want my message to get out in any way possible. I want to stay on YouTube. I know people don't like it, and there are many things I don't like about it, but there are so many lost souls that need direction, and I want to be that light in the darkness.
And you are.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're radiant, by the way. We love your smile and your presentation here. So thank you for everything. And in the few minutes that we have left, let me just ask you this question. One of the, I think, wonderful things about what you're doing is that you're helping people navigate not just what we already went through and are going through, but the next plandemic, right? So the next plandemic that hits us, I would say the authorities are going to be met with a far more educated and organized peaceful resistance against their tyranny. And it's because of people like you and many others who have, you know, there's been such a strong backlash against the tyranny and the mandates and the lockdowns and all this nonsense. They're not going to get away with this again. Do you agree with my assessment?
I agree with that, Mike. They are never going to get away at the same level that they did before. And I can say that with veracity because there are so many people that are just climbing on board now. I actually got an email from someone who has been a subscriber for some time. And she said, I guess she hasn't been reading all the newsletters because she said, oh, I just found out that the PCR test isn't really accurate for COVID. And I thought, oh my gosh, I thought everybody knew that. I've been
right.
Reading about that, as have you, for years. But the thing is, fear blinds. Fear hijacks the rational mind. People that actually believe in freedom, health freedom, they believe in just freedom, they when you're living under fear, it's difficult to actually see the truth. So I believe now, with a lot of this COVID hogwash receding, that more and more people are able to look back and go, wow, that wasn't right what happened. And I'm going to think twice about this. And yeah. Now I know my rights, and I've seen other people stand up. And that's really what helps me sleep at night, knowing that more and more people are standing up, speaking out, and standing up for themselves.
Absolutely. And that's what this is all about. And I just want to remind people again, go to the website, brightyou.com. Here it is. And it's the online seminar, Know Your Medical Rights, by Peggy Hall here. Click to register. You can watch it for free. It runs for 10 days, different episodes, beginning July 15th of 2023, in case you're watching this later. July 15th through the 25th. Well, I guess that's actually 11 days in total, if you include both days on the ends. So in any case, Peggy, this is really amazing. We're so grateful that you're allowing us to share your information with people. And we're just grateful that you're here, especially you're in California. So you're right there on the front lines of kind of the worst of some of this in the U.S., at least. I mean, New Zealand might be far worse.
Yeah,
but
it is. It's quite hostile. And their intended design of dividing people, the intended destruction of the state, is right on schedule. There are many freedom fighters fighting against this. I know many Californians that have left the state in order to fight, actually a stronger battle, because they're not constantly looking over their shoulder and, having their pocketbooks drained to support this evil government. So people are fighting for California and fighting for America. And as I said, I am marching it all the way to heaven.
Yes. Well said. Well, thank you so much, Peggy. Bless you for your contributions to our society. The future of human civilization, I think, depends on people like you. I'm not exaggerating. We have to have this knowledge and these skills in order to make it through. So thank you for taking the time today. And thank you for letting us broadcast your seminar series.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. Take care, Peggy. We'll talk again soon.
And thank you so much.
Absolutely. What a wonderful guest, right, folks? Isn't it great that people like Peggy Hall are out there fighting for your medical rights and teaching you all this information for free, no less? So again, check it out. Register for free at brightyou.com to watch the entire series. And, you know, we cover the bandwidth costs and everything. It's part of our network. It's part of our way of paying it forward to society. And Peggy Hall giving us permission to run that program. What more can we ask for? Blessings upon all of us. Thank you for watching. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com, completely vaccine-free and medication-free, as you well know. Big Pharma has no hold over this body, let me tell you that. Thanks for watching. Feel free to repost this on other platforms and channels, and check out more interviews like this on Brighteon.com. My channel is called HR Report, which stands for Health Ranger Report. Thank you for watching today. God bless you all. Take care. Today's interview is brought to you by the immune-supporting supplements that we have at healthrangerstore.com. And I brought a little selection of them here for my desk today to kind of show you. And we have liposomal zinc, also this elderberry echinacea tincture that was formulated, and the extraction is done by Dr. Ed Group with Global Healing Center. And then we do the testing. So it combines all our heavy metals testing, glyphosate testing, and other tests with Ed Group's extraction technology to make what I think is the most potent and the cleanest, the most effective elderberry echinacea extract in the world. It's right there. That's on our website, healthrangerstore.com. Also, we have the seven treasures there, which is a combination of the mushrooms that, you know, the biofunctional mushrooms that you all know about, you've heard about. You can look up the ingredients on our website. And then we have non-GMO vitamin C there on the site. That's critical because we get our vitamin C from Europe, it's not from China, and it's non-GMO in terms of its sourcing, and then we do our lab tests on top of that. So it is the cleanest vitamin C, not the cheapest, but the cleanest that you can find in the world. And if you go to our website, healthrangerstore.com, you'll see that we have a lot of other immune-supporting supplements, different forms of vitamin C here is what I'm showing you, and then discounts also for bulk purchases or quantity purchases of vitamin C, lots of different forms. We also have a buffered vitamin C powder right here, which is the sodium ascorbate. So it's not as acidic as just straight up vitamin C itself. So check all these out. If you want immune support, then nutrition is a great option to consider. You can check it out at healthrangerstore.com. We appreciate your support, and please know that every purchase helps support this platform so that we can keep bringing you uncensored interviews with amazing guests on our free speech platform, Brighteon.com. Thank you for your support. Take care.